Our reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." In the name of Jesus, amen. I don't know if you ever saw someone spinning plates on TV. There's some pretty epic clips that you can look at on YouTube. But I want you to think about your life like this. How many of you feel like you're spinning too many plates? Amen. I mean, which ones are important? Which ones aren't? Pastor, don't bring that up. They're all important. And truly, there are a lot of things in your life and my life that are very much important. And we care very much about them. But in our gospel reading today, we hear some pretty strong words from Jesus. As far as he's concerned, there's only one important plate. The interesting thing about that plate is it can have an impact across all the plates that you and I are spinning. So don't give up, but keep your hand to the plow, which is the title of our meditation today. You know, our gospel reading today has some very intense bad news, and it has some very wonderful good news. The bad news is that everyone in our gospel reading seems to be focused on all the wrong plates, majoring in the minors, if you will. Maybe there are plates they shouldn't even spin, kind of like the disciples wanting to call fire down on a village. Little over the top, would you suggest? And yet, they're full of passion. They know what they want to do. And they're all distracted and they're confused. They're struggling over the kingdom of God. You know, when Jesus began his ministry, he started out by saying, "Repent, believe in the gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand. Follow me." Throughout his ministry, Jesus emphasized the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and how wonderful that kingdom is, how different than it is from all others, all the nations, and how important it is to keep it the main thing, to major in that. And yet we see in our readings how hard it is to do just that. What is it about the kingdom of God that's so important? What is it about the kingdom of God that's so different? How can that apply across all the aspects of our life, all the plates that we are spinning? Well, to answer that, we need to define what the kingdom of God is. And here, on the basis of Scripture, the kingdom of God is God's rule of grace in the world now and forever in heaven. A different kind of kingdom where God rules in grace right now. You and I, and as long as we've believed in Jesus, have been a part of that kingdom. In fact, that's what brought us into the kingdom. Faith in Christ. And it has had a profound effect on all of our lives. Because of grace, we have been saved. We earn no place in the kingdom. We can't get in that kingdom on the basis of our own works. Ever since we've known that we have been saved by what Christ did for us sinners, and that there is nothing worthy in us, it's not by our best efforts that we can have God's favor, but for Christ's sake, we have it. We've been living in that kingdom, and that kingdom of grace has impacted our lives. Not that it's been easier for us to live, it's just that we know that we live in the forgiveness of our sins. We live in the promise of life now and life forever. And that's what it's all about. As we see what's going on across the kingdoms of the world, including our own, the kingdom of the United States, we still live in a different kingdom, knowing about God's saving grace. It's wonderful. And it's very practical. It's about all the plates that we spin, all the things that are going on that are important to us. Jesus said it this way: "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these." I mean, there's some pretty flowers in North Texas. Made by God, sustained by God. "Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" So Jesus argues from the lesser to the greater. Look at what God does. How much more valuable are you? And of course, our response is, "I forgot. I'm too busy spinning plates. I'm so overwhelmed by the things going on in my life, Lord." It's a challenge for us. Oftentimes, we are of little faith. Jesus goes on, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Our Father knows what we need. Our Father knows what we need. Gosh, how often do we forget that? "Oh, I forgot again, Lord." He knows what we need. He will take care of us. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." It's about understanding his kingdom, what it means to live in grace, what it means to have not our own righteousness, but the righteousness that comes from Christ that we receive alone by faith, and then live in that confidence. Jesus says, "This is the main thing. This is what it's all about. This is the only priority there is." And that this will help us across all the aspects of our lives, all the plates that we have to spin. This is what it's all about. And this is where it gets to be a challenge. And oftentimes we can be just like Elijah, thinking it's too late. What's the use? Why try? And even for Elijah, he has all kinds of good reasons to justify his concern for what's going on in God's kingdom. Or does he? I mean, he's fit to be tied. He's having a spiritual pity party. No one's left. All been killed, they've all been thrown down, and you know, his own king wants to kill him. I mean, at least he's talking to the right one, right? But who has to go and find him? God does. God does. And it's not for Elijah to have it all figured out about the kingdom of God, just to believe in it. It's not in Elijah to know how all the mechanisms of the kingdom of God works, because grace for us blows our mind in and of itself. It's not up to him. It's not up to us. It's just trusting that God's grace is ruling. And so God gives him marching orders. And he goes forward again. I mean, how many times has that happened to you? When you were just about to give up on what it was to be married, to have kids, to try to shape the hearts of their lives, to deal with neighbors, to deal with various things, where you just felt like, you know, don't give up. Keep your hand on the plow. Receive and celebrate what God has done in his Son. That grace alone, that strengthens us over and over and over again. Because that's the good news. The good news in our text, of course, is Jesus. He's always the good news. And it's interesting how Luke showcases the good news in our reading today. It's verse 51. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face. That was it. You and I were top priority. Pleasing his Father so that we would have a place in his family was top priority. And as much as he's being distracted by the devil in all the ways the devil wants to trip him up, he stays faithful. In all the ways that he gets distracted by everyone around him, even the ones in our text today, he stays the course. He kept the main thing, which has changed our lives now and forever. His focus on the cross to rescue us has made all the difference in your life and my life forever. And it impacts all the aspects of our life. We know who is now for us and with us, who will care for us, though often we forget, though often we doubt, though often we question, the Lord continues to be our shepherd. And in your life and my life, we have places and names and dates and challenges and circumstances. Give thanks. It's not always easy, though, to remember when something else comes. And yet, keep your hand on the plow. Don't give up. Go with God. Trust in his grace. Live by faith. Because it's what Jesus has done that has saved your day, all your days, and mine as well. That's the good news. And this good news isn't something that just happened in the New Testament. It's something that was given to the family of God time and time again. They were reminded of this over and over and over again. In fact, there's an interesting reading in Isaiah chapter 40. And let's read this together. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I mean, there it is. To wait on the Lord. No time is lost. When you're spinning all your plates, and yes, they're important. When you're stressing out about what's going on, sometimes you do have to stop. Let them spin by themselves or wobble to a stop and wait on the Lord. When the human dashboard of your life is starting to flash and blink, be still. Be still. And wait on God. Keep your hand to the plow, but trust that he will renew you. Don't give up. Go with God. You know, that's what Isaiah, that's what Elijah had to do. And the Lord renewed him, and he carried on. And he does the same in your life and my life. And there are times when these realizations are so important for us so that we distinguish what Paul talks about, living in the Spirit or living according to the flesh, and what it means to go forward in the strength of the Lord and not by our own might and right, but going with the Lord, waiting on him, and then carrying out what he has called us to do. That's what Elijah learned. And it's not about him. It's about your life and my life. It's about how we embrace this day and this brand new week in the name of Jesus. It means that we can trust that despite all the rabbit trails that we may take, some of the things we do we think are a waste, God is at work and he is leading us and guiding us, and that we're going to make a difference as we live holding on to the gospel, celebrating our place in the kingdom. And we have good reason to have that kind of confidence. Paul says it this way, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in." You're his project. And he loves working in and on you and through you. And he has all kinds of things for you to carry out that he has foreordained. So your plates make a difference by God's grace. And your strength to do it is not in yourself. Don't give up. Go with God. I'd like to finish this by sharing something with you to kind of showcase what that looks like. What does it mean to not give up and go with God? And this is titled, "You Say, God Says." And if you want to have the Bible passages that are after each one of these, just text me or email me. This is, "You Say, God Says." You say, "It's impossible," God says, "for you, but not for me." You say, "I'm in a hurry," God says, "Wait for me." You say, "I'm tired," God says, "I will give you rest." You say, "I'm struggling with love," God says, "I love to love you." You say, "I can't go on," God says, "My grace is sufficient." You say, "I don't know what to do," God says, "I am the way and will show you." You say, "I can't do it," God says, "You can do all things through me." You say, "I'm not able," God says, "I am." You say, "I'm afraid," God says, "Fear not, I give you a spirit of power and self-control." You say, "It's not worth it," God says, "It will be." You say, "I'm frustrated," God says, "Cast all your anxiety on me." You say, "I can't forgive myself," God says, "I already have." You say, "I feel alone in my struggles," God says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." You say, "My faith is failing," God says, "I'll perfect your faith by my grace." Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't give up. Go with God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.